What is up, everybody out there? Welcome to the Sneaks and Stats podcast, episode 72. I am one of your hosts, Sneaker Peter.
And I am two of your hosts. I am the second of your hosts, the Statty Daddy. Thank you for joining us on this beautiful Tuesday morning. Do not forget, if you're watching on YouTube, hit that like button, smash that subscribe button a lot.
Or once. You really once.
Check us out on Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, back on SoundCloud now, so you can hear us all there, Apple Podcasts. And then, of course, we're on Instagram, TikTok, X, and Threads. So follow us on those four social media sites.
Yes, please. Statty Daddy, I got a cool one for you.
72
for baseball. Legendary player Carlton Fisk wore 72. But get this. A center that wore 34 in the NBA wore 72 in college. What is his name?
A center that wore 34 in the NBA wore 72 in college. Yeah. Well, it is not Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah.
Because he wore 33. Hakeem wore 72 in college.
In the University of Houston.
I don't think I would have known that.
I did not know. I was super surprised. Also a big player to wear.
Yeah.
A big number, right?
Maybe that's what he's like. I am 7'2", so give me 72.
I want people to know. another random fact, since we're going with numbers in the 70s, Luka was 77, played the Sixers last night.
Yep.
Yes. And there's a 77 on there as well, VJ Edgecombe. And it was the first time ever that two 77s guarded each other.
Oh, wow. Ever. That's a good stat.
What a random stat.
That's
and for that to
random.
Happen last night.
Super random. Too bad we're not doing episode 77.
But we'll see you in five episodes.
If you flip that two upside down, it's still, like kind of like five, I guess.
Or you can wait five episodes.
Yeah, just wait. Listen That's to right. this. Five episodes from now, listen to this part and then go back to episode 77.
Since we've been gone, I went to Survivor Series in San Diego, and we met a couple of wrestlers, super fun. Went with my cousin Jaycation and some friends from the
Shout
East
out
Coast.
Jaycation.
Jaycation.
Jaycationers.
Happy birthday, and also thank you for a wonderful weekend. Super cool, man. At the end, there was a masked man who interfered in the men's match.
Rey Mysterio.
And nobody knows who it is.
Still don't know.
Till this day. They're running. That's like the story. They're running.
Rey Mysterio.
Could be. He's from San Diego. You know what I mean? So.
I feel like you'd be able to tell if it was Rey Mysterio. Who's that four or five man running out there?
They're saying right now it could be a lot of different people, but the stature of the guy was like really like huge and super athletic. Like,
Undertaker.
What if it's Rey Mysterio? It's like super sure.
Rey Mysterio on top of his brother. In a trench coat.
It's two guys wearing a coat, yeah. But super cool event. Never went to a premium live event for WWE, so that was the child in me was very happy.
That's sick.
Yeah, it was fun, man. It was a cool weekend. Got to meet some people, so. What did you do? You were sick last week.
I was sick last week.
You were in recovery.
I was in bed, and I was like, I was calling my family members over. I was like, and for you.
Make me soup.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Right.
I gift to you, I bequeath upon you the pleasure of making me soup.
And
be gone.
They gave you a bell.
Yes, exactly.
To call.
I abused it. I was just like, I need some service.
But you feel good now.
Yeah, no, I'm much better 100%. Now. So, yep. 101%.
Oh, even. Wow. You leveled up.
I leveled up. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Someone gave him a green mushroom.
Precisely. Yes. Yeah. Chilling. Holiday time. Watching movies. Doing stuff. Looking at lights. All that good stuff. So that's what we've been up to.
Yeah. Holiday shopping has begun. I have not started, but.
Oh. You know. I guess my present won't come on time then.
kind of a weird time for the NBA. I guess with the stories that are going on. You know, I wanted to maybe start with like Chris Paul situation. To me, one of like the most disrespectful things, I think. Minus what, obviously we don't know what's going on inside or behind the scenes. It's slowly starting to come out. Just kind of weird that they would do something like that.
I think people are really reckoning with the fact that like, it's pretty well known that Chris Paul is kind of disliked right? Like,
he's really vocal.
He's very, he's not, this is, I'm not using this correctly in the NBA sense, but he's very flagrant, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying he fouls everybody, but like, he's very vocal, like you said, he's in your face often, and that's opposition, that's teammates, that's coaches, that's the refs, of course, especially. So, you know, he can probably be a little stubborn, a little difficult to work with sometimes, I'm sure. But, like, obviously, one of the greatest point guards of all time.
For sure.
Legend, the best Clipper of all time.
For sure.
Pretty easily, I would say. And I think, you know, I feel like we had talked about in one of our earlier episodes before the season started that he was entering his last year. But I know he didn't officially announce he was retiring until only about a month ago. But I guess what's weird for me is that, so even if you take his behavior and, like, that he's probably really frustrated that the Clippers have a terrible record.
Yeah.
Why like, the Clippers brought him on. You had to have known that you were bringing him on for his retirement tour, for his, like, last hurrah as a Clipper.
Right.
So to release him in the middle of the night, in the middle of your road trip, and after he played his last game in Charlotte, just so weird, like, really disrespectful, just a horrible thing to do to, like, a guy that is on his retirement tour. Like, even if he's giving you problems, it's only because he wants to win.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you can just ignore him because he's not going to be there next year. Like,
right? Was it that bad in the locker room to where you had to do this? Like, you couldn't, they couldn't put up with it anymore?
Supposedly he was not on speaking terms with Ty Lue and Clippers front office members. Like, apparently he hadn't talked with Steve Ballmer in a while, and Lawrence Frank, their president and general manager as well.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't been on speaking terms. So I mean,
it's also
just a crazy way to potentially end somebody's career. I mean, probably not. I think he'll be signed somewhere. I think some team will give him, like, the dignity that he deserves to end his career, you know?
Some people are saying that it would be nice to see him back on the Spurs because he was kind of the one that brought them back to being kind of a more relevant team in the last 2 years. I think maybe would it be New Orleans or Charlotte that he would go back to? That's where he was good. New Orleans, probably.
I
right?
think probably Charlotte because he was
because they switched the names. Wow.
Well, so he's from North Carolina.
Yeah,
he went to Wake Forest.
Yeah,
he played on the Hornets in New Orleans, but they were still at that time carrying Charlotte's history.
Yeah,
And then now obviously Bobcats are. I don't think anyone has a Bobcats history. I think the Bobcats are, like, wiped from existence.
Yeah.
And now the Pelicans are starting their own history as of, like, 2013, 2014, whenever they made the switch.
Right.
So I don't really feel like he has any ties in New Orleans.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
Anymore.
Besides the name when he was there.
OKC.
That's the other one I think would be good. One of those three.
Because that's where the Hornets history? Were when in one of his early seasons. I think his first season. And he obviously played for the Thunder a couple years ago and was really good there. I think Charlotte makes the most sense. That's where he's from.
That was the next best version of him, too, I think, right? After the Clippers.
He's never played for Charlotte.
Not sure, or New Orleans, sorry.
On the Hornets. Mm-hmm. We'll call it the Hornets.
We'll just say the
Hornets. I don't think he's going to the Pelicans at all.
There would be no reason to.
No.
I just wanted to clear that up because of all the changes.
No, he was a Hornet.
He was amazing.
Yeah, he was great on the Hornets. Mm-hmm. I think because he's from there and because that's where the first franchise he was a part of, it would make sense for him to go there. Maybe they can bring back the blue and yellow jerseys, you know,
for him.
Throwback night.
Yeah.
But I also think maybe the Lakers, you know? There was that botch, maybe the most infamous botch trade in all of sports history was the Chris Paul to the Lakers trade for Powell and Lamar being sent out to the Rockets and the Hornets, respectively. He's obviously has roots in LA, you know, with the Clippers for so many years.
Friends with LeBron.
Yeah, he's friends with LeBron. I'm sure he has a home in LA. So that would make a lot of sense too. And I think it would be a very cool gesture for the Lakers to do that. Because, you know, he signed with the Clippers. He signed with another LA team at the start of the year. So obviously, I think he went to the Clippers because he's their best player of all time. But also, he's got home base in LA. So to have the, if the Lakers were willing to bring him on and just have him ride the pine, which, you know,
and just kind of be like that,
that's probably what he would do.
Be like that Rondo, like coach, yeah. player coach type of thing.
I think that'd be cool. But I really do think it's going to have to be the Hornets or the Lakers. I don't see him trying to join a contender. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he thought he was joining a contender on the Clippers, and obviously that did not work out. So maybe, I don't know. Who knows what the future holds? But I know, you know, I think for the most part, he's not going to be able to sign with most teams until January 15th, mm-hmm. When all the off-season acquisitions are, you know, their
6 months
period. Yeah, their probation period is over. There's some teams that on December 15th can start signing free agents, depending on their roster space and this and that. So the Lakers, in particular, I don't think you'd be able to join them until the January 15th deadline.
Yeah.
And as far as the Hornets, I mean, I'm sure they can make room. That team is not doing much.
It would be nice to give Melo a guy to kind of mentor him a little bit, too. Just
if transitioning into the trade rumors around the NBA, if Melo is going to be
still there
for much longer. I don't know, man. It's like with Melo, I'm really not much of a fan. I mean, his highlights are nice, you know, mm-hmm. every once in a while. But I think if you were to watch a whole Hornets game, you're going to see, like, it's just not pretty.
Like, yeah, it's like
he's got free reign over there, and it's not good.
Yeah, like, it's not leading to winning basketball. He's got Colin Knuppel over there, who's a great player, I think, too.
But so good.
One of the top rookies right now, actually. But it's not winning basketball. It's not. Like, I don't know if it's his style. It's just not fit for a team that's going to win 50 games, you know, or it's hard to see. And I think if you add a vet there, like a Chris Paul who can push him and kind of keep him in line, maybe it'll help a little bit.
Chris Paul would definitely whip him into shape, that's for sure.
But also, it's just, to me, it's a shame because when I think of Chris Paul, I think of a time where it was him. Darren Williams, right, was awesome.
Nasty.
And those two at one point, I think, were some of the best. Later on, you know, you get like the Russell Westbrooks and the Derrick Roses and stuff.
But I remember those debates back in the day. It was always D. Will and Chris Paul, and I was always like, "Hey, man, Rondo. Rondo's the point guard I want." But
yeah,
I will if you needed someone to make their own shot and then also set up other guys, Chris Paul or Darren Williams was probably a
those are the two. Option. Those are two the talks of the 2010s and. Early after 2005 for sure, but also just a sad. I mean, you can see it as kind of bad luck. You can see it as kind of like not a bad career, but just like definitely bad luck because you know he went 2-0 in the finals with the Suns, right?
Yeah.
And the Bucks came back with the Rockets. They went 3-2 against the Warriors and 3-1, and they lost that. They got to the second round that one year also, and he got injured, you know, and multiple injuries throughout his career. So you can kind of say that he's had bad luck throughout his career, but I mean, I like to think he you know, of the good times.
He's going to be in one of those weird places, right? Like John Stockton, never won. Allen Iverson never won. Mm-hmm. And obviously AI, his cultural impact is probably greater than Chris Paul's or John Stockton's on the game and the culture of the game. But it's just going to be one of those weird things where it's like he never was able to win at the highest level. And to your point, he got really close. He was right there with the Suns. That team maybe could have done it. I mean, if you look at the players that were on that team, they're all contributing on other teams now in winning ways. Even DeAndre Ayton, who after last year I didn't really believe in, but it seems like he's kind of on the Lakers realized, like, okay, this is, like, my last shot. Like, I'm with LeBron. I'm with Luka.
Yeah.
I need to, like, just be that big guy that rolls to the hoop hard mm-hmm. and dunks it when I get the chance.
Yeah.
Not worry about doing my little shimmy post-up
right.
stuff. But that Suns team, man, I mean, Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, mm-hmm. Book, of course, Chris Paul. That team was good.
That was a good team. That was their
window. They should have had a big shot, but, I mean, that Bucks team was super nice, man. So
yeah. It was just, you know, timing sucked that someone else was better at you.
Brutal.
Moving on to another team that's kind of in the same situation, Giannis scrubbed all his social media. Whenever you see that, it's always like, okay, there's something going on. And
contact injury.
Yes. And I think it wasn't talked about enough or just kind of forgotten about, but they already were in talks with the Knicks and they gave them a window to make a trade in the beginning of the season. And they couldn't think of anything to go through, which is why I think the Bucks went through with their season. Kind of a weird thing too, because they got rid of 100 mil, got rid of Dame.
Yeah, well, they didn't get rid of it entirely. They're still gonna.
They were gonna pay. They're gonna pay him, right? But they did that, and then they basically did like a $200 million switch and signed Miles Turner for over $100 million.
Yeah.
And then Giannis said, you know what? I think I want to be traded. So this was kind of been going on already.
Supposedly, yeah. There's kind of some weird reporting where, like, Brian Windhorst had reported that Giannis asked for a trade before the season, but then a different show said, oh, he's never asked for a trade, like, a couple weeks later. I think it seems like the consensus has been that he's been talking to management about what he wants his career to look like.
Yeah.
And if Milwaukee can deliver that to him. And obviously, things have been disappointing. Mm-hmm. Even when he was playing, they had like a 7-game losing streak at one point.
Yeah.
I think the Knicks thing makes sense. I think if you look at Kat's numbers in particular, mm-hmm. Swapping Kat for Giannis could make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Kat obviously gives you that deep threat that Giannis just can't really provide. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the electricity of Brunson and Giannis pick and roll. I think Kat's been underperforming a little bit. I mean, it's really not bad, but I think it's just not quite what you saw last year in his first year in New York. He's only 22.5, which is a little bit down, just a little bit down, like just one rebound less per game at 12 per game. But then his shooting numbers are down quite a bit. I mean, right now he's only shooting 46% from the floor. Which it would be a career low if that stayed.
Yeah.
And he's shooting 35% from three, which would also be his lowest since his rookie year if that maintained. So
yeah,
he's underperforming. I do think the Kat for Giannis buzz makes sense to me. Yeah. You know, I don't know if Milwaukee necessarily would want that because, like, to your point, they just signed Miles Turner.
Yeah.
I heard a rumor that the Bulls were in talks to get Giannis earlier in the year, maybe over the offseason, but they didn't want to break up their core of Giddey and Bouzelis and Kobe White.
Yeah.
Which,
okay.
I mean,
sure.
Classic Bulls to just be like, mm-hmm. top five NBA player, we're good.
I'm okay. Also, someone brought up a good point. You're basically mortgaging your future for Giannis if you trade for him, because he has 2 years left on his contract, so he could technically not sign the extension if he didn't want to after next season. So there's that into play. Do you want to get rid of all your picks and do that and hopefully convince him to stay? I saw a trade proposal, obviously made up, but him going to Houston, if Houston would want to do that and give up a Şengün and some picks.
Ooh.
For him, but I don't know if I'm the Rockets, I don't know if I change what I have already.
I think especially since Van Vliet's been injured, I think Şengün is the motor of that offense, you know?
I mean,
he's like a little mini Jokic out there.
Exactly.
So I think he is central to that offense. If I was the Rockets, I probably wouldn't make any changes. I'd be pretty happy, you know, third, fourth in the West so far. If someone said you have to trade for Giannis, maybe I trade KD. I would rather trade KD than Şengün if given the choice.
Right.
But again, same thing as the Kat problem is Giannis just doesn't have that shooting touch that you need. Mm-hmm. The Rockets need KD to go out and get them a bucket. Like that's why he was brought in, mm-hmm. to just be like, oh, there's 6 seconds left on the clock, pass it to KD and he'll mm-hmm. score for us. And obviously that's been working. So Yeah, I don't know where there could be a good destination for him. I think Warriors would make a lot of sense. The contracts is going to be impossible for them to figure out. It'd have to be Kuminga. But like
maybe a third team.
I don't really want. Yeah, a third team would probably have to be involved. I wouldn't really want Kuminga if I was the Bucks. I'd be a little worried about that.
Yep.
But maybe I mean Milwaukee could be a good situation for Kuminga. You'd have Miles Turner, who is not a clear number one. You know, he's always kind of been a number two in his career so far. So maybe you can come in, and if I'm Kuminga and I think like I'm the big dog, it's my time. Maybe Milwaukee for if you're in a Giannis swap. Maybe that's the place to be. You can show everybody, like, hey, yeah, I'm a legit number one in the NBA. So, kind of sad situation. I thought he was going to be in Milwaukee for the rest of his career, but the scrubbing of the social media, maybe we're reading into it, but almost every time that happens, it's
something goes down.
It's something, and he
and that we live in that time now where it's like they do that. Now
that's right? The move. I don't understand. I don't know if it's just to put more pressure on your front office and stuff. I think it's a little silly, but I guess even his Twitter, I mean I'm not really, or his ex, I'm not really on Twitter like that, but I guess I checked it, everything's
gone. Yeah.
Has been gone until 2021 when they won the championship. That's when it stops.
Yeah, if you want to look into it, he left stuff on there. But it's not Bucks related, so it's like
there's a couple.
He's just completely scrubbing his social media, you know.
No, the Bucks. That's
a message.
Worrisome. His Instagram too is like a couple posts with his brothers and one of his dad.
Like a grief the NBA, post.
Yeah, the some of his wife, like three ads, I think, and then it's like the NBA Cup championship that they won last year and the NBA Finals.
Right.
That's it. Which like, yeah, you're not gonna delete those. Those are like, I mean, the Cup. Who cares? But like, I think the Cup Finals are this week. I think Lakers are in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, you got the Spurs on Wednesday, and then Thunder versus the Sun. Surprising.
But yeah, I think it's sad. I like when players stay with their team and, you know,
fight through the tough times.
You've seen it happen time after time. You know, Dirk with the Mavs after the 06 Finals. They weren't ever bad, but like, you know, it took them 5 years to get back to the finals.
Yep.
Kobe, of course, after Shaq left, there was those 4 to 5 rough years. And then, you know, look, it worked out, you know, and that wasn't even through the draft. That was all through just savvy trades by Mitch Kupchak and Powell in, you know, signing Lamar, Jordan Farmar, bringing in good players.
And Milwaukee, it's not like they weren't trying. They brought Dame in, right? They did what they could to kind of...
The Dame move, though, I mean, maybe that was to appease Giannis, but, like, in the long term, you just knew that wasn't going to work out. Dame has not been himself in a while. Milwaukee owns their upcoming pick in the draft. So, it is a swap with New Orleans, or, I mean, with Atlanta. So, they could elect to take that... but I mean, right now they would only be like a 2-spot difference in this draft. So I think they own some of their draft picks. I don't know how far out. I mean, they've been hemorrhaging draft picks for a while. So they haven't hit on the ones that they have made in a while. So it's been tough there. But yeah, I don't know if it's like you just tough it out and hope and stay there because like this is the team you brought a championship to. No one really believes in you, and now you're an MVP and Finals MVP and all this. So yeah, it sucks. I would be bummed if he got traded, but it kind of seems like he's gonna get traded.
I think so too.
Month or so.
It just seems like it. Also seems like we're at the stage where the Bucks are kind of just playing it off. Like no, they said something around the lines of he's hurt right now. So we don't want to hear your trades, your offers, or it's like you kind of are supposed to say that.
Yeah, right now, yeah. You
know? And for a lot of different reasons besides just trying to appease him, but yeah, I mean, we'll see. They're not necessarily they're what, ninth, I think, in rankings right now.
Yeah,
eighth or ninth or something like that. I thought Doc Rivers had a
slip down to 10th.
Okay, so they're still
four games behind Atlanta for ninth. So they'd be in the play-in.
Doc had a funny quote. He said, "We're a 110 game winning streak away from being really good." It's like, Doc gonna Doc.
He's like, "Hey, things are dire. My star player wants to be traded. I should probably joke about how bad we are. One 10-game winning streak. Okay, Doc.
Darvin told me to say that.
He's actually the head coach.
Yeah. Go hard on them dudes. Did you hear that? When he wrote that on the clipboard?
Yeah.
With the Lakers? That is when I knew you aren't the guy.
You are bye-bye.
You are bye-bye. We'll see how that plays out, man. I mean, again, like I think if they can figure it out, they can probably be a 7 to 10 type of team.
Playing team.
When he comes back from that calf injury that he just had. But that, again, also scares me a little bit just because a lot of these calf injuries have been turning to Achilles injuries for these players. So that would
especially scare the non-contact one. I mean, yeah. Maybe you can play it up as like, you know, I saw the jokes when the injury first happened that it's a bad case of trade me-itis.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he's maybe it's not that bad, but he's like, I'm sitting out, like, I don't care. But it would be scary. You would do not like the non-contact calf injuries, that's for sure.
And Giannis' reputation, you'd like to think that he's not faking that. And if he was, that would not be good for his reputation.
Yeah, I would think he's not faking it.
Mr. James Harden just passed Carmelo Anthony on the all-time scoring list.
Yes.
Pretty
crazy.
We aren't necessarily the biggest of Harden stans. I think we've given him a little bit of a negative, talk on our podcast. But I like to give him a bit of his flowers a little bit in terms of a CBG. He's definitely he is up there.
He's up there with the CBGers.
I like to think of the Houston. James Harden, that was the most unstoppable Harden I've ever seen.
That guy was one of the most unstoppable scorers in the league. I mean, he was doing wilt stuff. Like, what was that streak? He had like 10 games with 40 or more or something. Like,
yeah.
It was like Kobe had 8 in that one season, 05-06, and then James like broke it.
Yeah.
In 2018,
whatever. Easy
that
too.
Was.
Like, it's so simple to him.
Just play. Crazy. And Melo obviously was a bucket, but I mean, Harden is a different kind of bucket. That guy is.
No, for sure.
Anywhere. Score from anywhere.
Also, he's like the guy that made the foul baiting kind of famous, right? You know?
Yeah, I think so.
That move at least, where the swing through and all that.
I mean, Kobe is the swing through king back in the day when the rip through was allowed. Yeah. But James was just like, I'm not trying to score. I'm trying to get fouled. Like, let me just run into you.
Yeah.
And throw my hands up and it's a foul. I think that was always the problem for me.
Yeah, no, for sure.
The rip through was always dumb. Like when Kobe would do that, like you just had to feel stupid as a defender. But it's kind of a crappy rule. Like if I put my hand here and you go like that, like that's a foul on me.
For sure, yeah.
So I'm glad that they got rid of that. But James just took it to another level of like literally like.
Yeah, like you're creating the contact and then you're going to flail.
And you know what always.
That's a little bothersome.
What always did it for me, and these are like, you know, low lights, so it wasn't all the time, but like his defensive effort in those years where like literally if he was the only one back on a fast break, that's a bucket. There's not a chance he's going to even try to stop it. So that kind of stuff always frustrated me a little bit,
and that's why it's always going to come up when we talk about him. But if you know, if we're talking about just, you know, just the scoring, I'm just one of the best bags in the game that we've ever seen. I would put him definitely up there with Melo, you know, Kobe, KD, and just offensive repertoire.
Second super most hard to get. Threes of all time as well.
Yeah, see?
So.
Still doing it till this day, too. Kind of hard to believe.
Doing it at a high level, man.
Kind of. I saw this earlier. We're going to be talking about him again later. But he's been in the league for 17 years already.
Crazy.
So wild.
It's so crazy. About. And I think it's really crazy, too, to think about the what if with him on the Thunder, man.
I mean,
if they had, you know, stuck to their guns and kept that team, I think they easily win a championship with him, Russ, and KD.
Yes, I believe so too.
Maybe even the next year after they went to the finals against the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Yeah, they slowly pawned off all three. But they're in really good shape right now.
That's true. It worked out.
It kind of worked out in the future.
Yeah, Harden, second all-time in three-point field goals and three-point attempts, only behind none other than Chef Stephen Curry.
Yes.
And where do you think he ranks all-time free throw attempts?
Free throw attempts? I'm going to say third.
That's pretty close. He's top 10.
Five.
A little lower.
Seven.
Yes.
Okay.
Seventh.
Yeah, because I know there's other guys there.
Kobe is ahead of him.
Okay.
By a lot. By like 300. So.
Oh, wow.
That okay. could be a ways away.
Yeah.
Moses Malone, Shaq, LeBron at three.
Yeah.
With 11,757.
Dang.
And he is eyeing Wilt Chamberlain. And then I don't even think LeBron will break this record. Karl Malone, 13,188 free throw attempts.
So that LeBron would need 2,000 more. Over 2,000. Nah,
yeah, he's not that's not happening. But yeah, it's cool for James. I mean, top 10 scorer all time,
mm-hmm.
Or top 10 points, pretty special. I mean, that's you don't get there often, and he's I think the mythical club for me in the NBA is the 30,000. You know,
yes,
that's rare air right there. Mm-hmm. So and he could get there. He's
KD just reached that, I believe,
1,700 away. Right? I think KD hasn't reached it yet, but he's right there. Oh yeah, he did. He's at 31,000.
That's hard, man. Quite a feat.
You know what trips me out is that Dirk is in the 30,000 club.
You got buckets too,
bro? That guy's a bucket, but it's just like I feel like he career always flew under the radar.
That's true. I think of all the years that towards the end that where he's just, you know, not Dirk anymore, but still scoring and it adds to the.
Yeah.
To the point.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. Right?
Still doing stuff. Of James Harden's 28,000 points that he sits with currently, 8,000 of those are from the free throw line. That's pretty good.
And 7,000 were when he was on the Rockets.
I'm going to be curious. I'll do an update maybe next episode. I'm going to look at who has the most percentage of points in their career.
That's a good
stat. From free throws.
That's a really good stat.
Because James got to be up
there. He's definitely top three. I'd say with Shaq.
LeBron, Shaq. Every time, yeah.
You know.
Well, Shaq didn't make them. But
he attempted them.
I bet LeBron. He attempted them. I bet LeBron's up there. I bet Shaq's up there.
LeBron, at this point, he's in every category because he's played so long. You know what I mean? So he's probably in every, about at the top of almost every stat.
Yeah.
All right. And before we get into some shoesies, some kickaroos, I wanted to play a little game called Contender or Pretender with you. I have three teams from the East and from the West that could be either one. And I want you to tell me if you think they're a contender or pretender.
I'll do my best.
Let's start with the East Coast. I'm going to go with the first place, Detroit Pistons.
Contender.
I agree.
They still have to, we talked about it last week, or not last week, 2 weeks ago. Last episode, that they still have to, you know, work out a little kinks here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they're holding on, man. 19-5, that's big.
Huge.
They're going to have to come up, you know, against the bigger teams. And they've been doing okay. I mean, they lost to Boston, Detroit. I mean, they are Detroit. They lost to Boston, Orlando, Milwaukee, Cleveland in the beginning of the season, and Chicago when Chicago was actually good. So, you know, it hasn't been like they've been only losing to the top tier teams like the Knicks and the,
yeah.
You know, the Phillies, the 76ers, I guess, you know.
And that's the real test, right? Can you compete with the top teams?
So I think, you know, closing games, there was that clip of Cade. He missed the game tying free throw, I think.
Yeah.
Two of them. I mean, that's bad.
Those
kind of things have to be ironed out, but that's what the regular season is for. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to hit that run soon of like a big winning streak, you know, and maybe it's going to be like 15 games where it's like, man, Detroit is rolling. And like you talked about, Jalen Duren, that guy has to be an all-star. That dude is doing it all. He's like at the three-point line now with the tween.
Yeah.
The hoop and stuff.
And this is big.
It's crazy what he's doing out there.
I think it's fair to say, too, for the contenders that you choose, it's still early in the season, consistency-wise, specifically made for the Pistons, too, can they keep this going for the rest of the season?
Right? That's why I kind of think they will be able to do it because they do have these slight kinks they need to work out. They need to close out games. You know, they need to figure out I think a little more of a consistent offensive identity where they are. We've talked about they all played together for a long time, so they all kind of know each other. Mm-hmm. But just making sure, like, they have a go-to play and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that they can work on for the rest of the season and, like, maybe kind of help propel them. Like, all right, if we can just figure this out, we have a shot.
Yeah.
And you know they're looking at New York wanting revenge from last year, you know? Still haven't won a game at home in the playoffs since 07. They want revenge. So, and that's probably who they'd see in the Eastern Conference Finals, you know, if they made it that far. So I think they're contenders for sure.
All right. I think so too. I agree with you on that one. Let's go with the second team, the fourth place Raptors.
Pretenders.
I agree with that as well.
Yeah. I honestly don't know how they're doing it. BI's been balling out. That's a team that the Pistons have yet to face, actually, so that would be an interesting matchup.
Yeah.
Same with the Knicks for the Pistons, just to go back to that. But for the Raptors, on a bit of a tough stretch here, they are 5-1 in their last six games.
Yes.
Including a loss to Charlotte. So that's, you don't want that. Lost to the Lakers in that awesome buzzer beater. And then a second loss to Charlotte, which they got blown out 86-111. That was just a couple days ago. I was like, how are they doing this well? Like, I just didn't see the makeup of their team. It didn't make any sense to me. It's just all forwards.
Yeah.
That are still looking for their shot. You know, B.I. can shoot it pretty well, but he's not KD out there from three-point land. He's only shooting 31% from downtown.
Yeah.
On 4.5 attempts. Scottie Barnes has only taken 3.5 shots and shooting under 40%. Quickly has been fine, you know. Pretty good, I'd say. R.J. Barrett, you're still kind of waiting for him to be, like, really, really good. So, yeah, I mean...
He's been hurt, too.
He's been hurt. Grady Dick is... I don't know. I don't want to say bust, but, like, for a top-five pick, this is in his third season?
He's averaging around 7 points on the season, but I don't think he's the rookie that has been really doing it for them. I think what's contributing to this success a lot, obviously, along with Barnes, Ingram, and Barrett, is this dude, Mamush Kelasvili. He's been killing it against the Lakers. Quickly has been really good for them. This dude, Colin Murray Boyles, has been good for them. Jamal Sheed has been, like, their defensive guy on the guards, who's also been good. And Jacoby Walter. So I think they rely on that group of young guys who have really been doing good for them, along with their young stars, too. And I think that's contributing, along with, you know, playing in the East Coast, too. I don't think they can keep this going, though. As I think they need, obviously, a little more time together. This is the first time playing all together. I think they'll come and kind of get knocked down a little bit in the seeding.
Yeah, I just think I think Brandon Ingram is not a, like, tier one superstar.
Yeah.
He's probably a great second option.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jaylen Brown is much better than Brandon Ingram, but if you swap them, if you put Jaylen Brown on the Celtics, Brandon Ingram on the Celtics, like, the last 2 years, I think you'd probably get similar results, you know? But yeah, I just think, I mean, B.I.'s defense is not where it should be, and I think his scoring capabilities, while very good, are kind of capped by his lack of a three-point shot.
Yeah.
So I just think not having a guy to lead you and score 25 points every single night is going to kind of handcuff them to, you know, 6, 5, 6, 7, somewhere in there.
Yeah, that seems very doable if they can sustain this type of level of play. B.I. has a good – I like to add that he has a good – knack for big shots in big moments.
He does seem to have a knack for big shots. But yeah, I just think
good quality to have for a star.
Maybe, yeah, like you said, maybe just not enough time together.
Yeah.
Jakob Poeltl is, he's fine. He doesn't really, I mean, they traded back for him, you know, last season, I think. And he's fine. It just doesn't really interest me all that much. So,
yeah,
I do not think that, I think any team that sees them in the playoffs in the first round, even if they finish as like a third seed and they're playing like Orlando,
yeah,
I don't think Orlando's scared of them. Like,
no,
it's gonna be, you're gonna feel good going into that matchup.
No, for sure. And the last team in the East that I wanted to ask you about is the 8th seed Cavs. They looked so dominant last year, and they look so different this year. Where do you have them?
I don't know what's going on there, you know? On paper, like you said, like, last year was electric, you know? They're 65 wins, somewhere in that range. Like, just seemed like such a big threat. Kind of faltered in the playoffs against the Knicks.
Yeah.
I know he's been injured. I think Jared Allen, maybe, it's just not going to work on that team.
Him and Mobley
together, the first couple seasons looked like, oh man, this could be good. And now I think Mobley is just entering another stratosphere of
skill.
And yeah, and not that I don't think Jared Allen's out there demanding the ball. You know, he's like a defensive specialist. Mm-hmm. Whoa, slipped right up. But yeah, I don't know what it is. I mean, Donovan's playing well. Mobley is just playing so well, man.
Super good this year, bro.
I think, you know, Garland has been really injured. I do think he is very important to that team. And I know it's, you know, Spider needs the ball in his hands a lot, but having Garland to kind of right the ship and just steady things.
Yes, you know,
he's perfect such a steady presence that I do think they really need him, and he's been injured.
Lonzo's been good for them as well, I think.
Yeah, I think Lonzo's been pretty good. Not jumping off the stat sheet and not, I think, maybe what you were hoping. You were hoping, like, this guy could be, like, a legit starting point guard for us when Garland's injured, and I think he's not there.
He can take care of the ball, though.
Of course. I mean, Lonzo's ball handling and ball skills are, like,
passing is awesome.
Top tier.
And it's better. I think he was more useful of a player on that team as opposed to the guy they traded. I forgot his name.
The guy in the Grizzlies, Ty Jerome.
Is it Ty Jerome?
Yeah.
I'm leaning towards Pretenders with them. They just don't look as dominant to me, but only at times. I don't know. Again, like you said, I don't really know what's going on with them, but I would put them in the Pretenders as well. I don't see them moving up in the ranking too much if they were to.
I mean, I guess if you look at the standings, it's like, yeah, they're eighth. Why do I keep wanting to call them the Phillies? 76ers are ahead of them. The Heat, Magic, Raptors. If the Raptors keep backsliding, that could bump everyone up a spot. I wouldn't be surprised if the Raptors slip down to play-in territory.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I just think, I don't know what it is with this team, man. They just don't have that edge that they should, you know?
Mm-hmm.
DeAndre Hunter, I've never been a huge DeAndre Hunter fan. He's supposed to be, like, their big shooter guy, and he was
good for them last year.
Shooting 30% for three, so yeah. It's just not
catching. They're not hitting as on all cylinders like they were last year. I would even compare them to the Pistons this year. The Cavs are them last year, because they were really hard to beat last year.
Yeah.
But yeah, Pretenders, for me, for sure. I just don't see them improving. Even if they did, I don't see them improving too much.
No.
Moving on to the West Coast, fifth place, San Antonio Spurs.
Every team in the West Coast is a
contender. I don't know who's going to end up where, man. They're so good in the West right now. You obviously have the one team, I think. You put them by themselves. Right?
The Thunder are by themselves.
Leave them by themselves.
Yeah.
And it's literally... It's
not looking like competition for them.
No, not at all. You can literally go from 2 to 10. Two to like six. It's up in the air.
Yeah.
Nuggets and Lakers look like they're pretty good. It's like the Spurs. Can they take that next leap? They've had Victor and this core, the Vassells and the Castles for 2 years already.
You know,
can they take that next step? What do you think? I'm gonna say contender.
Castle has been injured. Yeah. Jordan McLaughlin is day to day. He didn't play in their last game. Same with Cornette, didn't play in their last game, but just day to day stuff. Victor, of course, has been out, and you know, who knows when he's coming back? Hopefully, sometime this month. So that's big. And I mean, since he's been out, they've been kind of going like 500, which I think is. If your best player and like a guy who's probably going to be an all-time great is out and you're going 500, I will take that.
Take that any day.
Again, to your point about the Thunder, they are in a separate thing. They are looking like it's just going to be a cakewalk back to the finals for them. So as far as contenders, I guess in the West we can say a Western Conference Finals contender. I do think the Spurs could make some noise and make a run in the playoffs, but my gut says pretender.
Okay.
In the context of the Western Conference, I don't think, because they're such a young team and even their coach is new, I don't think they're gonna have enough fuel to run through. Maybe you see Denver in the first round.
Yeah,
that's gonna be super tough, winnable, but super tough. Then what if you see Houston? That's another smash mouth team right there. That's a hard series. That could be two hard series for Wembanyama if it shakes up that way. So I think they're gonna fizzle out in the second round.
Okay.
Tops. Yeah. So yeah. I'll call them pretenders because I just don't think they'll get farther than that. But they're gonna stay top five. I think they'll stay top five.
Fair enough. I'm saying contender because I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt that they can sustain this double play or actually be better when the guys come back.
I mean.
They're getting to a point where they're just hard to beat every night.
You know, man.
They've got the
Cornette with that clutch block. I mean, he's a winner. That guy is a winner.
Right? He's great.
Celtics fans were probably bummed to have lost
him. Big time. And I think, you know, again, good collection of young guys, just like the Thunder. Been together a couple of years now.
Yeah.
Great coaching, great culture. I'm going to give them benefit of that, they can definitely sustain that. But can I see them getting bounced in the first second round? Yeah, definitely. Also, but I'm gonna go.
Yeah, they're in a weird position where I just don't see them coming out of the West, but or even making it to the Western Conference Finals. But talk to me again this time next year.
That's right.
I will be I'll shaking in my boots. Buy me some boots.
I'll call you.
I need to shake in them.
They're made for walking.
Oh,
the ones that I buy.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
that's just what they do.
The seventh place Suns. This is, to me, big-time pretender. I think they're overachieving.
Seventh-place Suns, okay.
Yes. But I do like the collection of defensive-minded guys on that team and the fact that some of them can all, like a couple of them can go off for 30 at any night, just like what we've seen lately. But
any of them.
this isn't something that I think the Suns can keep up for the rest of the season. I see them fizzling out as well. Even going down to like the 9th, 10th or leaving out of the playoff, the play-in. So
yeah, I the Suns are definitely pretenders. I don't know if this is a hot take. I've been seeing a lot of praise for Book, but I don't think he can be your number one guy championship team.
I agree.
Very, very good team, yes.
Yes.
But I just don't think his skill set is diverse enough. His scoring is extremely diverse. And, you know, I mean, he needs to probably get inside a little bit more. He hangs around the perimeter a lot. That would be an interesting dynamic to add to his game. Where, like, right now he's attempting 8 free throws a game. That's not a small amount, but it's not that much. And I think, you know, he's really, really good. He's a really good player. But I just don't know if he's the guy to lead you to a championship. And then the second problem with this team, I do think, to your point, the defense of that team can be very like wily and like really up in your grill and stuff. I mean, Grayson Allen and Dylan Brooks together on the perimeter, that's a nightmare. But if Dylan Brooks is and Grayson Allen are your second and third scorers respectively, you may have a problem.
And that's what I'm saying, because you're not going to get a lot from them offensively every night.
Of course, you need Jalen Green to come back. That'll be another scoring option. But I just feel like he's book light. Yeah, we'll see about Mark Williams. He's nice, but I just don't know if he's going to mesh with this team, you know?
Right. But definitely a surprise after what they went through in the offseason. You didn't expect them to be a seven. I didn't expect them to be a seventh seed.
I think this is about where I thought that. Maybe really? A little lower. Maybe okay. More legit. You're a play-in team, like 8, 9, 10. You know. I think like you said earlier, I think that's probably where they're going to end up. You know.
They're just playing great right now. They're in the semis for the play-in against the Thunder, which I think they will lose.
Yeah, I think the Suns. You know, I think they're probably surprised to be where they are because of the other teams that have dropped off. Like the Clippers are awful, and no one thought that they thought they were going to be, you know, a contender. Pelicans, of course, are terrible, and I think no one really saw them being like bottom of the league bad.
Yeah.
So I think they maybe are artificially bumped up a few spots from where they might have been. Maybe where they'll end up. Maybe the Clippers can turn it around. Doesn't seem like it, but. Even the Mavs, I mean, I think people thought maybe they could piece something together. Not us.
Still waiting on a couple people to
yes. I think they kind of, you know, they hit a lucky spot. But I think if you were to take this whole team and put them next year when, you know, the Mavs are healthy, maybe the Jazz are better, maybe the Clippers have figured something out, they're probably not in this spot again. You know?
Yeah, definitely a pretender for me.
For sure.
And lastly, before we get into some kickaroos, the eighth place, the Warriors.
Contenders or pretenders?
I'm going to go pretender.
Yeah, probably pretenders.
They rode a wave in the beginning of the season that made them look really good. And then they started... They hit like a little bit of a lull where they're playing 500 ball, and this is where I think they're kind of at.
I mean it's a big sample size now because to your point, they were 4-1 to start the season, and then since then they've pretty much gone 500.
Yeah.
So that's just not going to cut it. You
with a healthy roster,
you need
too.
The runs to, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, healthy-ish. No Steph the last two games, but they've won those games. So.
Yeah. See.
So. The ascension of Pat Spencer, which we'll talk about a little bit later. I think probably they're pretenders. It's hard for me to try and rule out Steph, you know.
Of course.
Betting against Steph never feels good. But I think, you know, Pods is getting too much minutes for where his skill level is.
In trade rumors.
I think he's probably just a package for whoever wants to take Kuminga, you know?
Yep.
Horford has not been playing, and when he has, it's not been great, you know? But I mean, that's what I think a lot of us expected. Like, he's 39, he's at the end of his rope here. They have DeAnthony Melton. He hasn't been playing really at all. Quinton Post, who we really liked in the playoffs last year, he's been just okay. Buddy Hield has, like, fallen off a cliff. He's shooting 30% from three.
He was only hot for, like, a few games, I think.
Don't know what's going on with that. Seth just recently re-signed with them.
Not doing much.
Yeah, he's just not making a lot of noise there either. We'll see if Pat Spencer can maintain his stuff. Trace Jackson Davis, I like him a lot. But, you know.
Not a needle mover.
I think, too, I mean, Kerr always plays around with his lineups a lot. I think they need to lock down, like, who, like, you need, give me an eight that you know are going to go in and get minutes every single day.
Yeah.
Because right now, it's like, I mean, they've got 14 players that have played double-digit games. Some of that circumstantial injuries, this and that. But, like, I want to see
an actual rotation,
a legit rotation. Probably Pods needs to be more of a bench guy.
Yep. Give Cam the minutes, you know.
Cam Spencer's in Memphis.
Oh, that's the brother.
Yes.
I keep forgetting there's two of them.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Buddy needs to take a back seat. He's only playing 18 minutes a game, so he's really not playing very much. Mm-hmm. Kuminga has just been okay for, you know, all his talk last year. I think they're just stuck. I think they're stuck until they can move Kuminga or he can become a 20-point scorer a game. Mm-hmm. Because he's getting the minutes. He's getting 25 minutes a game. That's decent.
Just not producing.
Not making it happen. He's taking the third most shots per game for them. Mm-hmm. He's just not making it happen. So, they need to figure some stuff out. I would definitely call them pretenders. Same. But like I said, betting against Steph does not feel good. So,
yeah.
Who's to say? We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how if they make any trades or if they can.
They've got to be
play a little better
in the market for sure.
I think so too.
They need something.
Like Jimmy helped, but now it's time to get Kuminga going or get another guy.
It's weird too because like their defense has been pretty good. They're second in defensive rating, and then the opposite of a typical Warriors problem, 22nd in offensive rating. That's just not how things operate there.
Yeah, no.
So I mean, in theory, if they can get the offense together, which I think they need to do what we're saying and figure out a rotation and maybe move some guys around. I mean, it could be scary hours.
Mm-hmm. Just get Steph signed by Nike already. You know, maybe the shoes on.
That's it, too many distractions.
That could be it too. But that's it for hot topics, bro. What do you got on the feet?
Broke out the old black toe low.
Fire.
Super comfy. OG one of fires. My most comfortable pair. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like the white laces on them, too. I know I've said that before.
Yeah, you were the one that suggested it, and they're sick. Yes. I'm thinking about maybe putting the black laces back on.
Just a switcheroo?
Yeah, just change it up. But maybe not. It's kind of dark for the holiday season, so I need to keep it.
I mean, you got red.
I need to keep
there.
It merry and bright.
Make it green laces.
Put some green laces on there.
Red and green. Be good. And
black.
Now, the black laces look really good with that, too.
The black are good. The white really are. They're,
it gives
the
it
white is, I think, my favorite.
Pop. Yeah. Yeah. Super nice.
How about you over there? Have you worn these on the pod yet? I think I've seen you wear them.
I have not.
But I think this is the pod debut.
Pod debut for the...
Dude, these are so sick. I'm so glad you have these.
I already forgot the name. Citron? Is that the name? The Bright Citron.
Yeah.
I think that's the name.
Yeah.
Of the green.
The Jumpman Jacks.
Jumpman Jacks, Bright Citron.
TR.
I originally liked the red ones.
But those are really nice, but I don't know.
When this
these are
dropped,
cool, man.
You know, I was like, I need to have it. Roman Reigns, who's one of the top wrestlers, wore them during an episode of Monday Night Raw, and I was like, okay, now I really need to have them.
No, I'm super glad you have these.
What I was worried about was how they look like when they're beat up. But I'm going to take care of them, and I think they should be fine.
You'll never find out.
No. Super comfortable, super light. The sole, I don't know if you can see it, looks different than some of the other ones where it's kind of
It looks like a plaster.
Like a plastered wall, yeah. I love that, and it doesn't get pretty clean, good materials, so happy with them for sure.
I think, you know, obviously anything Travis Scott puts out right now with Nike is pretty hype, but I feel like these didn't go under the radar, but like people are more hyped about the Jordan 1s usually.
That's like the Thunder of his.
But I think this model is fire, great, man. Dude. I think it's so cool. It looks a little more rugged compared to a lot of other stuff that Cactus Jack has put out. So I'm super stoked that you have this pair, man.
We might be talking about one.
Oh, would you like to talk about some new releases?
I'm down for some new rallies.
Well, we'll get to those in a second.
Okay.
Because first up, we have, as we mentioned at the top of the episode, a little feller named James Harden in his 10th signature shoe. Man.
His shoe run?
The last like three pairs in particular.
Insane.
Ooh.
I thought about this morning before we got here. I was like, this shoe is making me want to play basketball again just so I can have this shoe.
Like, they're super dope, man.
It's so nice to have. Like, I would love to play in the gym with those. You know what I mean?
I love that with his line, they lean into the metallic colorways too.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of reminds me, it looks like a T-Mac shoe, kind of. Yeah. I really like this one. Very simple. Adidas has really been focusing on, with his line in particular, like these kind of big waves, circles, whatever you want to call
design
these.
Design wise?
Yeah.
But they're killing
and
it.
And then keeping it very simple otherwise. And I just think it's really... I feel like they're really hitting their stride with his shoes, man.
And it's not falling to the side, even with Anthony Edwards' line just, like, really killing it.
I think
they're
lighting everything up.
They're right at the forefront of Adidas's marketing for their shoes.
Yes.
Like, his shoe is incredible. Yeah. We've talked about it plenty of times. But he's right behind, you know, right behind Anthony Edwards in his line. Like, we've talked about the last three, right? On our
the last three we've talked about a lot. And, I mean, they've been
so nice.
So nice. Adidas, I mean, we're obviously Nike guys in our hearts, but Adidas
we've opened up a lot though, bro.
Adidas has been really like kind of killing it in the basketball shoe. I mean, the Fear of God shoe looks great.
Amazing.
The D Rose Fear of God shoe looks amazing. And then Lillard's, I don't think it's out yet, but I think it was leaked.
Which is also like his eighth or ninth.
Something like that. Those are looking like they might be nice too. I feel like they're the Don issues. I mean, we usually are liking those. I think they're a little lower for me on the totem pole than the Hardens. But I mean, just there, if you look at their lineup of shoes, man, they've got some nice basketball shoes, man.
They're on
a great run.
They're on a really good run. Real quick, they came out December 1st.
Are they out already?
Kind of confused. Like, I wanted to clear it up a little bit. Kind of confusing. First colorway came out December 1st. The I'ma Be a Star colorway, which is, I think it's this one.
This is the only one I've seen so far. I've seen him wear it too.
Yes, he's wearing a few already. Backstory, the I'ma Be a Star is like a letter he wrote to his mom.
Sick.
I said, Mom, I'm gonna be a basketball player, blah, 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 all this stuff. And at the end, it said, I'm gonna be a star. And his mom kept the letter until he got drafted and stuff like that. So
awesome.
We love those backstories, right? And that was the influence for this colorway. It is coming out December 15th, the I'm gonna be a star colorway for $160, a good price for a basketball shoe. You can get it from the Adidas app and the website.
Confirmed.
Also on Dick's and all your sporting goods stores. Whereas the Volume 9 featured curved stripe cutouts, the Volume 10 opts for embossed and oval patterns that ripple outward from the forefoot. So kind of a different, it's kind of the same style but different design of the
approach,
the circles
or
whatever.
I like this. I think we talked about the 8. It looked kind of more similar to this. And the 9 kind of went a little bit away from it, where it had the two circle thing, almost like a Tatum. But this one is kind of going back to the big ripples.
The big ripples.
So nice.
The black part of the shoe is what they're calling the booty, which is the inner part of the shoe, and which they are fancying themselves as something they are doing a lot of shoes now because it's in terms of comfort.
Yeah.
And new traction for the sole. So I'm guessing, you know, better for him to stop for stop and go. Just beautiful shoe. Again, they're killing it.
I want to take a look at the sole. I'd be curious to see that.
Right?
Yeah.
Interesting to see, like, freaking break your ankle or something.
Yeah.
But just a great shoe. Again, you know, shout out to James for making it the top 10 scoring. Just his line and with Adidas, awesome.
Top 10 in the 10s.
Very good.
I am a rapper.
You are the statty.
That's what they call me.
I'm a rapper.
Next up, going back to what is on your feet, we have a new release of the Jumpman Jack.
Yes.
The Chase B, who I guess is one of Travis Scott's friends or something?
I just learned that as well. He's a DJ for Travis, and he just got signed to Cactus Jack Records recently. But I guess they've been friends for a long time.
Because they teased these like over summer, and I remember all the comments were like, "Who is Chase B? Who is this man?" And then they announced the release date for these recently again, and same thing. Who is Chase B?
Who is this guy? Yeah. And why does he get a shoe? But again, Travis doesn't. He hasn't missed, I don't think.
It's like the inverse of your Citron, almost.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. But the blacks and the light colors are inverted a little bit.
Yeah.
I love the suede of the shoe. Yes. I like the hint of, like, peach pink on the tongue.
Yeah. Another Travis special.
Yes. I also just learned that this design on the strap is a TS for Travis Scott.
Yeah, it's like it's the Cactus Jack, I think, like logo.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was trying to look for the TS. I can only kind of make out the T, but
very abstract.
Anyways. Yeah. They are dropping the shoe with a character named Little Bizzle. He's like, I don't know if they're going like the Little Penny route.
I certainly, you know? Little Bizzle.
Little Bizzle is, I don't know where they got the name, but.
For Shizzle, my Bizzle.
For Shizzle, my Bizzle. Comes out with the peach laces. It did say that it's only coming out holiday 2025, but I did find a date that it's on the 19th or the 18th, one of those two. So it is coming out. Sneakers app and the Travis Scott website. It is coming out for $205, so a pretty penny. But a nice colorway to add to all the other Jumpman Jacks.
You said the 18th or 19th?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if, complete speculation, but if this upcoming weekend, if Travis did a surprise release on his website, because he almost, the last like three shoes he's released through with Nike, there's also been a secret drop. Like there was, remember that one during the Grammys? Mm-hmm. And then there was one during, he was doing that festival, or not a festival, but like an event for the F1 in Europe, and he did a special release. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what he's got on his calendar, but if something's coming up, I think during Coachella or one of the big performances,
he dropped sold them at Coachella.
Yeah.
So crazy.
So I don't know. I think if you keep an eye on Travis's website, on the Cactus Jack website,
because really
if
hard.
You want these, they could be a special release.
It's really tough, but if you can time it, you know, best of luck to you.
Yes. definitely looking forward for that. Might have to ask Santa very nicely.
Yes.
Please.
Oh, and also real quick, the black is ostrich. So cool.
And the sole is glow in the dark, right?
I'm a sucker for that.
So there's no sneaking around in these.
No.
They're going to know.
Mm-mm.
Last up for new releases, we have a pair. These just came out. I kind of wish I had been paying a little more attention.
Yeah, I'm very mad.
But we'll see what the reseller market looks like. The New Balance and Ruckus collab on the 480, the Mallard 480, if you
Mallard
will.
Mallard Duck.
So sick. And the 480, I have a pair of the numeric 480s, the skate
version.
I was gonna ask.
Yeah, just can you give us a little review on the model?
I think this is not a numeric 480. I believe this is just a regular 480, which you can barely see it on the tongue there. The numeric one has the number logo, a hashtag, if you will. So that I think the numerics are a little chunkier, just a little bit. But mine are suede as well, and suede is super nice.
Yeah.
Very rugged and durable, and the shoe itself is very comfy and easy to take on and off. If that is your thing, I can kind of just slip out of them, which I don't often do, but it's nice when necessary. Definitely a pair that I'm like. Or a model that I was like, I think I need another pair.
Yeah.
And if it could have been this one, I would be extremely happy.
I mean, how are
such
they?
Such a cool collab, or like, you know, concept.
Yeah, I think colorway-wise, my favorite colorway for any shoe, one of my top favorites.
You
of
love this, ducks.
Yes, I love mallards.
Yes.
This whole year of 2025, one of my top favorite colorways just executed beautifully.
Yes, great execution. I think it's like they're vibrant but not too in your face, if that makes sense. I really, really like them. I would really like to try and bring these home one of these days.
Yes. Influenced and inspired by Louisiana's love for hunting and game. Yep. What's it called? Collabed with Ruckus, who is a big streetwear, one of the few but very known streetwear stores in Louisiana. They dropped it on the 6th for $300 at their store only and online. But it was a pack, so it came with binoculars for hunting.
Okay.
Three pairs of laces, a dust bag, a duck call. Which
That's
is
awesome.
So cool. A keychain of a mallard duck and a special box, which is camel. That box is so crazy.
The box is insane.
Awesome. But is also releasing on the 15th to the mass public for $120 on the 15th.
Through New Balance?
On New Balance's website.
Okay. I will keep an eye out for that.
And selected skate shops. So okay. We still got a shot, bro.
I'm going to keep an eye out for that. I'm gonna keep my eyes peeled because such a cool pair. And very, very comfy. That could be a daily driver.
Huge we are with backstories and the little details.
We love a concept.
I love me a good box.
Speaking of concepts, I had a concept for Cop or Drop.
Which, it's a great segue. It's a cop or drop.
I did want to do some actual shoes after last episode's Thanksgiving
that was fire.
Detour.
That was fire. I also had some mashed potatoes.
My mom made some stuffing. Crazy mashed potatoes. Yeah. They were so good.
Oh, shh.
But yes, I wanted to, you know, we're done with Thanksgiving. We're moving on to the holiday. So I want to stick with a holiday theme.
Okay.
Couple recently released and a upcoming release for some holiday shoes. We've got, I didn't hear anything about this. A Superstar and Home Alone collab. Mm-hmm. And then down below we have the an upcoming Air Force One collab with Lams or LAAMS, a New York-based clothing company.
Okay.
And these are called the Please Post Bills instead of those signs you see that say, you know, post no bills. Please Post Bills. Uh-huh. So it is, I mean, it's pine green. It's not necessarily a Christmas release, but I kind of thought it looked like a very Christmassy shoe. The green is supposed to represent the temporary walls that are put up at construction sites around New York City.
Okay.
That often get, you know, plastered with posters and signs and, you know, tagged with graffiti and stuff. So that was their inspiration for this, is that instead of post no bills, when you see this material, please post bills.
Yeah.
So these, the Air Force Ones, are coming out through Sneakers on the 18th or 19th, okay, I believe, for $125. And these Home Alone Superstars, they came out last week, mm-hmm, almost completely sold out. There's a couple sizes left, and they're actually on sale, the ones that are left, for $64. Ooh. So they're knocked down a considerable amount.
Yes.
There's a 9.5, so if you want to wear big socks.
Okay.
Because I know you're a Home Alone guy. Huge. I know you're Home Alone all the time.
I'm also Home Alone all the time, but I also love Home Alone the movie.
There's not too many like crazy touches on this pair that they highlighted on the website, but has the Home Alone like logo and font, which is really cool, and then the kind of dripping tar, you know, from one of the traps. Yeah. I thought it would be cool. They didn't do this, but I thought it'd be kind of funny if they had put what like made it look like there was a nail in the sole of the shoe.
Yeah.
I thought that'd be funny.
You could even put like a little circle on the bottom to make it seem like the nail.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I do have a little bit of critique. I mean, obviously, this is how they wanted it to look, a little more basic. I would have loved for them to add a little more of the...
Maybe some Christmas lights or something.
Maybe like a section of the shoe. The inside, or like the sole, was like Micro Machines.
Oh, okay.
That would be cool, really, right? Funny. Again, awesome theme. I think the backstory of this is really awesome too, bro. Like, that's so
looks
cool.
Looks clean too.
Very, very clean. You can tell that it's like a premium leather.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge fan of the backstory now that you told me, but the green is very Celtic-y to me.
Ooh, okay.
And I do love Home Alone, so I'm gonna have to cop the Home Alone.
Fair enough. You're definitely making me think about some stuff, saying it's Celtic green. I'm getting a little freaked out.
I love, I'm wearing green right now. I love green, but it definitely comes out sometimes when I think about it.
Yeah, that's tough. Right? I think
you thought about it like, oh, you're right, huh? Like,
especially with the cream and the white, I'm like, oh,
yeah,
it's making it hard.
It's the Cream City jerseys from Milwaukee.
Yeah, okay, there you go. I'm fine with that.
Now I want this one.
If it makes you feel better, the insert, the sole insert is blue.
But they don't see that.
They do not see that. You got a little blue on the stacked.
Oh, that's true.
There.
I didn't even notice that. Nice.
I think I would go with this pair.
It's a great shoe. I've never had
a pair of Air Force Ones. Right. But I know they're supposed to be very comfy and,
yeah,
you know, a classic silhouette from Nike. So I think I would cop these, make it my Christmas shoe, you know? Yeah, I think they look so, like, rich, dude. That just looks like, I'll fall asleep on those.
It looks like a really good premium shoe, just by the leather alone.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to pick these, to be honest. It looks like a shoe you would rock for sure.
I definitely could. And the fact that they're on sale, not in my size, but I was like, oh, man. When I saw they were on sale, I was like, oh, maybe I'll get these. And then I was like, they have only, I think it's like, the only sizes available are 4,
uh-huh.
a men's 4,
oh, no.
a men's 9.5,
uh-huh.
and then a men's like 15.
Oh, no.
I was like.
Well, that just goes to show the, I think it's more, I would say, like to say it's more the Home Alone fans buying it than
probably
sneakerheads,
yeah,
but then
probably.
With a good amount of sneakerheads buying it too. But a tough choice, bro.
If there was a little, I don't even know necessarily what you could throw in it to make it more Home Alone-y,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, I don't know. Maybe a few more touches would have been nice.
It's
just being bigger, maybe.
It's got me thinking, though. I'm thinking of, like, the sled scene, you know?
Yeah.
Like a shovel for the old man Marley.
A paint can?
a tarantula. I don't know, something.
Oh, a tarantula would have been kind of cool.
Something.
Put that on the insert.
Yeah.
So every time you put your shoe on, you're like, oh!
Yeah, or like the other shoe could be Buzz or something.
That would be really funny.
Great copper drop.
Little Christmassy copper drop.
Festive.
Put you in the mood.
Very good.
But it's time for feet that are hot. Hot feet.
Hot feet.
Hot feet. First up, we have the new Kobe King of the NBA.
Yes.
Mr. Jalen Brunson. Mm-hmm. I think you're really going to like this pair once I get a closer look.
Dude, I like him already.
Brunson is the player of the week for the last week in the NBA. He's been looking like himself again.
That pair is interesting too.
The Sabrinas.
Yeah, super nice.
Super dark pair.
The placement of the swoosh is crazy too.
Super far back, yeah. Mm-hmm. This game against the Magic, Knicks came out on top 106-100. This was just on Sunday. 30 points, 2 rebounds, 9 assists, no steals, no blocks, 2 turnovers, and 2 fouls on 10 of 23 shooting. For Mr. Brunson, OG Anunoby had 21 points and 3 steals. Desmond Bain for the Magic had 16 points on 7 of 15 shooting. Bit of a disappointing year for him.
A little bit.
He's been in a lot of incidents too, including this game. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw that.
A fight.
He threw the ball at OG mm-hmm. when he was out of bounds. And he was trying to play it off like he was going to fall out of bounds so he threw it.
Mm-hmm.
He like grabbed it and stood there and went like that.
No,
like,
and he was fine.
He didn't even look he did he not have to. He could have just dribbled the ball back up the court. So.
Right.
He's been throwing a few tantrums on the court.
He's that guy though too.
He has been that guy. This is the Sunrise PE mm-hmm. For Jalen Brunson. I think there's rumors that they're gonna release these.
They are. I saw.
So this is a cool pair, man.
Watermelon Sunday.
For real, it looks like some peach lemonade, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these are super nice.
I love the fading to the other color
yes.
when they do that with the Kobe's. So I mean.
He's been rocking a lot of pairs that are going to be released too, because mm-hmm. he has his PE, the Statue of Liberty PE, which mm-hmm. is turquoise with a yellow swoosh, I believe, coming out soon.
Mm-hmm.
And he wore the gray and blue pair of the Caitlin Clarks that they released
yes.
A couple weeks ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been wearing a lot of stuff that is readily available for all you B-ballers out
yes.
there. But I thought this was a cool pair, and he's been balling again.
He was hurt a little
bit of a slow, little injury ridden, slower start to the season, but he's been back to his Jalen Brunson ways.
Super killing it, dude.
And on the other side of the Jalen Brunson coin is forever going to be Luka Doncic, former teammates and from the same draft class, all that good stuff.
Thank you, Nico.
First game back from the birth of his daughter, which he traveled
to
Slovenia
Luka.
For. I don't know if you saw, he had a funny quote after the game yesterday that he's like,
I'll be security.
Yeah, he's gonna, once he retires, that's his new job.
He's like, just I know they're gonna get
for
me
his
help.
Daughter. This was against the 76ers also on Sunday night. Lakers came out on top 112-108. Luka had a great game, 31 points, 15 rebounds, 11 assists, no steals, 2 blocks, and 5 turnovers with 1 foul on 9 of 24 shooting. Bit of a rough shooting night for most of the Lakers. Mr. LeBron James, 29 points, 12 in the fourth quarter to help win the game. And then those guards for the Sixers, man, they just keep doing their thing.
They're great.
Maxey had 28 points, led the Sixers. And then the other two guys on the Sixers, kind of quiet games, man. Embiid had 16 points. PG had 12 points. Embiid, super weird season, man.
He didn't look like himself last night, and PG doesn't look like himself either. It's really weird.
I think Paul George is going to have an... Essentially, I feel like he's going to have to be a spot-up shooter. Yeah. Maxey's your main ball handler, and then Edgecombe is, like, he's rookie awesome. Of the year. He can do it all.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I think he's just... He's going to be great. Embiid was 4-for-21 last night. And
did you see Austin cross PG so bad last night?
Yes,
that
dude.
Was really bad.
Here's a closer look at these Luka 4s. I believe this is a PE. I'm not sure that this colorway is going to come out.
Damn, they're so nice.
Super nice, man. Yeah.
The shape. I'm in love with the shape. And then all the little designs, perfect.
There's so many little... The stitching right there, which is just like a nice unnecessary touch, you know? Not really doing much, but just so cool.
This
little shape here. Yeah. The little jump man in the back.
Yeah, all these designs, it's cool because it's you incorporate it into the design, but it's also to keep the shoe together.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. Lakers are rolling, man. We've been talking about like even though so AR had a terrible game. He shot like under 20%.
Yeah.
And didn't score in the fourth. Luka only had 4 in the fourth. It's like you would think if you can stop those two, you'd win. But here
they
comes
didn't stop them the first three.
They did not. The all-time NBA's leading scorer, man, to win the game. It's just crazy that LeBron is the third option.
Yeah.
That's rough. I do not envy game planning for the Lakers right now.
You brought it up earlier, dude. The Lakers three-headed monster is hard to guard, man. You know what I'm saying? Like
one of the nastiest trios maybe of all time if they can keep it up, especially if LeBron can pick up some steam.
Yeah.
Like
he's still getting back into his game form.
And I think they're all happy to distribute when they have to, you know? Obviously, they can all get their own bucket, and it's just these three guys on the perimeter that are going to take you inside, beat you up, and then hit these crazy shots from the outside when they want to, too.
I think when they're all creating for other people is when they're most dangerous.
Yes, yeah.
And then you add on Luka being on fire, right? Good luck.
Best of luck. And then last up, we got a guy that we talked about, been popping off recently, Spencer.
One of our favorites.
It's really cool that the Warriors do this. So he works for San Francisco Police. They're letting him play. He's been doing really well. But he's kept the mustache. They made him keep the mustache.
Yeah, yeah.
He looks like
Pat Spencer, attorney at law.
Right? Yeah, you know what? It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So Pat Spencer, I didn't really know this until I looked him up yesterday. Collegiate lacrosse player for
awesome.
4 years at a couple different schools. His brother has been more of the basketball star, Cam Spencer, who he won a championship with UConn in 2024. Pat is a little bit older. Some of his seasons were affected by COVID. So interestingly, he was the first overall pick in the one of the major lacrosse leagues in North America.
Number one, huh? Okay.
Never showed up with the team because he decided to pursue basketball instead at the college level. He stayed in college. He had one of those weird, like, 5-6 year eligibility things because of COVID.
Yeah.
So he stayed, went undrafted, worked his way up through the G League, and then now he's on a two-way contract with the Warriors and I'm sure is going to be made guaranteed very soon.
Carved out a role.
Yeah, he's been balling out. He's wearing the GT Cut 3. I couldn't find a close-up of these.
Those are fire, dude.
I think it's a PE for the Warriors.
It almost looks like a Michigan PE.
They do. So they have, I think it's black here. Okay. I don't think it's dark blue, but it does kind of look like it.
Yeah.
They have a yellow and black GT3 Turbo, GT Cut 3 Turbo, but it has a black heel and the bottom of the sole is black as well. So it's not that pair.
I think I like that
better. These are nice. These are much nicer. GT Cut 3, such a nice shoe. They've been able to put so many cool colorways on it.
Great shape.
I didn't get a close-up, though. This was kind of the only angle of the shoe. But Pat Spencer, man, I mean, this wasn't his best game recently, but He's been doing some stuff. This was against the Bulls, also on Sunday. Warriors smashed them 123-91. 12 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, and 1 steal.
Not bad.
No blocks, 4 turnovers on 6-10 shooting. Brandon Podziemski had 21 points off the bench. Jimmy Butler, in his return to Chicago, had 19 points on 5-10 shooting. And then for the Bulls, Josh Giddey, 18 points, 5 assists, 4 turnovers, still doing his stuff. But yeah, man, Pat Spencer, 19 points the game before this, 16 the game before that in Philly, which they just lost at the buzzer thanks to some good defense from Maxey. And then in a loss to OKC, 17 points there as well. And he's been getting the starting nod since that Philly game when he really kind of started popping off. So we'll see.
How many minutes is he averaging?
He so in the last 3 games, he's been getting at least 20 minutes. 24, 29, and 27, respectively. But on the year, only 15.8. So he's definitely going to get more as the season progresses.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
I'm happy for that guy, man. You like any stories like that?
Yeah, very cool story. He's 29, so you know it's like he's been working for it for a long time.
Yeah, for sure.
So good for him. It was cool that moment early in the year when he was him and his brother were going at it at the end of the game. That was fun. So
trade jerseys.
Yeah. see that botched jersey swap between some Magic and Knicks players yesterday? It was like 3 Knicks players and 1 Magic player. So, like, the Knicks players, like, 2 of them are swapping with their teammates. Like, they tried to do a 4-way jersey swap without even numbers across the team. So, it's literally, like, a Knicks player handing his teammate his own
and
jersey.
And he's not getting one back?
Yeah. Well, he's getting back one from his teammate.
You couldn't do that in the
super
locker
weird.
Room?
Yeah, it's super weird. They must have been college teammates or something. It wasn't even guys I recognized, to be honest. So
okay, that would make
sense. I don't really know what was going on.
Yeah, they probably knew each other from before or something like that. That's... How do you mess that up?
Very badly.
All right. And before we go, a little game called Stump the Statty.
That's me. I'm being stumped.
If you are following us, listening, or watching, and you have somebody with you, please.
Stump them.
Stump them and follow along. All right, Statty. I got kind of a different one for you today. 3 numbers worn by the Lakers. The number 3, the number 9, and the number 5. Let's start with the number 3. Name me 3 players that wore the number 3 with the Lakers.
Devin George.
Very good. I have a whole list right here.
Trevor Ariza.
Very good. Devin, the 2 you named, I was like, he's probably not going to say these ones. He knows them, but he's probably not going to, and you said them.
Isaiah Thomas?
No.
He wore like 2 or 1 or 7 or something random. 3. Who is a 3?
There's a big one.
Anthony Davis.
Yes. Some notable other 3s. Derek Fisher.
When the hell did Derek Fisher wear 3 for the Lakers?
He wore that first and then he changed it to 2.
What?
I did not know that.
Wow.
Devin Ebanks.
Yep.
Shamon Williams. Corey Brewer.
I don't remember Corey Brewer wearing 3.
And Josh Hart.
Of course, Josh Hart.
All right.
Love me some Josh Hart.
Me too. Also, number 9, Statty Daddy.
For the Lakers.
Yes. Lots of good ones in here.
Marshawn Brooks. He's got to be in there.
No.
Really?
No.
Did he play for the Lakers? I think
he did. For like a second.
Number 9, Nick Van Exel.
Very good.
Matt Barnes.
Very good. Currently on the team.
We currently have a number 9?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
He is the sun.
Oh, yeah. The upside down 6, if you will.
That's right. That's right.
Bronny, yeah.
Yes. Very good.
You let me off easy on that.
Sorry. Other notable 9s for the Lakers. Brian Russell. Chucky Atkins. Chris Kaman.
I was going to say Chris Kaman.
Fire.
The meme of him on the bench. There's nobody else there.
The bad dark days, man. Luol Deng.
Oh my gosh.
Marcelo Huertas.
I can forget that Luol Deng. Huertas is good. I like Huertas. I can't lie.
Huertas. Some Rondo. Wesley Matthews. Kent Bazemore. And then Bronny James.
Man, there's just so many players on the Lakers.
So random, dude.
Was Matthews junior or senior?
The son.
Remember? I think they both played for us, though.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
But Wes wasn't... He was okay for us.
He was, like, I remember. Very forgettable.
At the end. And this one, I'm sure you'll get to. Number 5 on the Lakers.
Jordan Farmer.
Very good.
Steve Blake wore number 5.
I'm yes. Pretty Steve certain. Blake. Uh-huh.
And Big Shot Bob, baby.
Very good. Very good. Other notable 5s. Tyson Chandler, Carlos Boozer, Jose Calderon.
Don't remember Jose Calderon on the Lakers.
DeAndre Jordan and Wayne Ellington.
Wayne Ellington, dude.
Dude.
Bucket.
He was like the OG Gabe Vincent. Like,
yes.
Right?
Yep,
role?
Exactly.
The same role. But that's all I got. Dude, you killed that one. I mean, that's too easy, though. I should have maybe used that another team or something.
Oh, my God. That would have... Michael Jordan?
Kelly Oubre.
Kelly Oman. That's his name.
Well, thank you guys for joining us this week. Stay tuned on our YouTube channel and on our social media accounts for some more
the
Survivor
good
Series.
Stuff.
Yeah, Survivor Series stuff coming out. New shoes that we've picked up. We have some videos coming out for that as well. And I just thank you again for tuning in. We'll catch you next week. On the flippity floppity. It's because no one's really buying shoes right now.
Jordan 1s.
Thank you for that.
Are not popular. They've never been popular.
It was all a fake.
It was all a dream.
It was a ruse.